This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we're hoping for a new light coming up on Thursday, Kevin, when the Cowboys get their opportunity to go win against the Buffaloes on Thanksgiving Day. We gotta vent some frustrations every once in a while. But you know what? We always turn the corner. I think that's the great thing of being a fan. You go through the emotional roller coaster. You are part of that, man. And that's why I always say the losing is the agony, but then the glory of winning gets better and sweeter because of the losses sometimes. And that's what I'm hoping is that beating a good team, a team with a winning record on Thursday, will be that opportunity for us to be like, all right, that's what I'm talking about. This is why I'm a fan, because I get back into it. I don't want to trash the team all the time. That's not what I'm in for. I am in for having a good time and enjoying the Super Bowl victories, Kevin.
Oh, is that this year?
Hey, you never know what's going to happen. Okay. We could turn a corner starting this week. As a matter of fact, I'll get into a Jerry Jones cut in just a few minutes.
Did he say we're going to win the Super Bowl this year?
That may lead you to feeling like we're going to win a Super Bowl.
My God.
But before we get into that, Kevin, G-Bag Nation will be coming up with Brian Broaddus today at 4:20. We are the official pregame show of the G-Bag Nation. I hope you guys can get in on what we're doing every day.
But how many hours is he going to be on with G-Bag today?
He'll be on for the entire segment. He will be on with us tomorrow night for four straight hours from 8 to midnight. I'll be hopping on with Zach and Eric tonight at 7:20.
So, how many hours will you be on with them?
This is why you Tolo. This morning we had Jerry Jones on. We had Travis Frederick on after the tripping penalty yesterday. We talked about that with him and how he can sweet talk some referees in order to get more calls in his favor in the future. We had Stephen Jones on yesterday. Jerry was on this morning. The Jason Garrett press conference. Terry Bradshaw went off last night. As a matter of fact, I need to find some of that audio right now, because Terry Bradshaw had some really interesting thoughts about this team and what they... He said they're not going to lose another game.
Really?
I can't remember if it was regular season game or another regular season game going forward. Actually, he doesn't think they'll lose.
I'm going to research that. I think statistically that might be... They should be favored in all the rest of their games.
And he also said that Roger Staubach was a better quarterback than him.
Oh, damn. Thanks, right he is. That's a fact.
Jeff Kavanaugh, for asking that question.
Yes, thank you, Jeff.
All right, right now, though, guys, let's talk a little bit about what Jerry had to say this morning. And the question that came up was the one that I think really got everybody. Did you consider a head coaching change after Sunday night?
Again, the answer is no, and period. But, you know, I sit there and watch games. I watch games, and I look at every aspect of it since I put the coaches out there, since I put the players out there at the end of the day with a lot of help and with a collaborative effort. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. And I am highly critical, and I'm continually evaluating the performance of everybody involved with the game.
Look, I'm so glad that Sean and RJ asked that question. But, I mean, that question was also designed... It was automatically going to infuriate people because you knew he wasn't going to be like, oh, yeah. For sure. Almost happened. It was a great question to ask. It was the question that needed to be asked, but I knew he would say something along those lines, which only further infuriates people.
The world wants to hear after a loss like that, heads are going to roll.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's what everybody wants to hear, is that somebody's losing everything and everybody, you know, the world is burning. But it's not in the mind of Jerry because...
But that's
because
the issue.
He's giving them the season.
Okay, but don't you think for a lot of people that's why they get so mad, is because in the moment they're like, but you could still not waste the rest of the season. I think a lot of people believe, Corey, that if you don't do anything, you're wasting the rest of what could still be a viable season.
Yeah, no, I agree, because, and that's what somebody said, what if we fire Garrett and never lose another game this season? People think change for the sake of change might just lend itself to success. But Jerry is holding himself in a situation where he's going to give. I think, Kevin, it is the patience of go through, unless we are mathematically out of it, go through the season, give him that chance to get into the playoffs, because it's tough to get into the playoffs anyway. give them the chance to win in the playoffs, because it's tough to win games in the playoffs anyway. And if it doesn't work out, then we will look at it just like the Mavericks looked at their teams. When you had Rafe LaFrenz and Nick Van Exel, you had, at a point you went, that's as far as that team is going to go.
Right.
What can we change? Well, Kevin, you might have to change an entire staff.
Right.
So I think that's an off-season procedure rather than something that's going to be able to just right in the middle of season change directions. I did like the question of what coaching adjustments do you need to see moving forward?
Well, let's start right now, and everybody wants to see, and that's come out here and play very well against an outstanding Buffalo team. And we've got a chance to get this taste out of our mouth by playing well against Buffalo. We're in a position. We lead the East. We can play better. We are prepared to address the nuances of our subtleties, or however you want to describe them. We're prepared to take advantage of the detail that it takes to win a football game. And one of the great things about football, one of the great things about sport, is that until the season runs out, you get another chance to get a different taste in your mouth as a team or for our fans or everybody concerned. This gives us an immediate opportunity to step out there and do that. But we have to. In a week like this, you can't dwell 1 minute on your game Sunday.
Look,
he's right.
He is.
Especially with the kind of turnaround that you have to start focusing. Look, they were down in a 12-9 loss. I'm sure this entire team is sitting there thinking to themselves, gosh, that stunk. But let's turn around and focus on the next one, right?
No, you know, he is, because what happens if you spend the next 48 hours lamenting your loss to the Patriots? You'll spend the next week lamenting your loss to the Bills. It's right. It's just, the fan doesn't have to focus on prepping for the next game, right?
105.3 The Fan?
Yes. Well,
no, actually.
We do. I'm saying fans have to focus probably on maybe like prepping Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, but they don't have to focus on prepping for the game. So they could still be angry about the Patriots loss all they want. It's the team that does have to prep. And so I think that's why the fans are spending more time, because they're like, I'm still mad about this game because I have to do any. Look, what do I have to do to prepare for Thursday's game? Just as Kevin the fan, I just need to get ready to eat food.
Oh,
like, that's
so
it.
Much
and
food.
I'm always ready for
we're
that.
We're pardoned a turkey and everything.
Oh, God. I'm so glad we
no, we're pardoned a turkey today. Get ready for that. Y'all got to learn the history of this, because I didn't know what was going on. Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ this morning. He was asked if the Cowboys practiced accordingly.
This answer, I think this answer made me the maddest.
For New England weather.
I'm not going to get into whether or not we were able to pick the days that would have emulated that kind of weather. But I think once you get in those situations, you do speak to nuances and subtle nuances of the game. And I'm not saying that we didn't. We just didn't. Weren't able to execute, but we just weren't able to have our turn, if you will, to take advantage of a slippery ball, to take advantage of a limited passing situation, to take advantage of a close game. We just weren't able to get that done, and I stand, as always, impressed with how Belichick, his staff, they make that a part of their personality, a part of their ethos. And I admire that.
Jerry, who makes the decision to practice indoors or out? Or is it
that's
any
your
one
head
person?
Coach.
All right, Kevin, I know this that answer infuriated you, but I think the tail end of that answer is the part that you need to listen to the most. Hey, we didn't plan accordingly. And we didn't, and then he makes the excuses. You're probably saying he made excuses of you didn't get the opportunity to take advantage of the slippery ball or the moment that it would have worked for you and everything. But the last part where he says Bill Belichick and their entire staff make it part of what they do to prepare for those things. Part every little detail, they make it part of what they do. And I admire that. And then he was asked whose decision it was to make that kind of move.
Head coach. So a couple things in addition to that. I thought it was preposterous that at the beginning he said, well, I'm not going to get into whether or not we have the opportunity to. Yes, you did. I'll answer that question. You can do whatever the hell you want. If you're going to go into a game that you know weather-wise is going to be complicated, you can do whatever the hell you want. I can stick the team in an icebox and spray a hose on him if I need to prepare you for the weather. You can do whatever you want.
So I don't know if you can do that.
So the idea, they're professional athletes. I'm not going to try it. I know they did that at Texas Tech for a minute, and there were some problems.
Are you serious?
No. So that was a different thing. So, like, the idea that they didn't have the option is absurd. But then also Jerry Jones said, well, you know, it could have been at some point. Maybe the weather would have been bad. Maybe it would have been like a Blue Jay day, which means it would have been nice and
peaceful. Blue Bird day.
Yeah, that's absurd. Just read the weather report. Dial up Dan Brunoff. He'll tell you what's up.
Absolutely,
and you would have known what the weather was going to be like more likely than not. And wouldn't you rather prepare for garbage weather and get good weather? It's not like the players forgot, well, it's good weather. What do we do? I don't know. Then not prepare, and then you get bad weather because that's what you get.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, very simple 7 P's. Prior preparation prevents poor stuff. You can't say it, right? Like, you can't say all the words. So if you prepare properly, you're going to be perfectly fine if you make sure you take advantage of those things.
The weather one, that was the one that bothered me the most because he gave a straight answer eventually, but I think it doesn't bury your head coach to be like, yes, and should we have done that? Maybe so.
Yeah, and in addition to that, though, I think it buried the coach whenever he laid out the part, or maybe he was just advising. Maybe as an owner/GM, because that's what he said. He said the criticism that he had of the coaching staff after the game was as GM. Me saying, I have to take this role to now reprimand the guys for what they couldn't do. And that's essentially what he was saying, was I have to take a brunt of the load too because I carry this as well. But I think that last part about what the coaching staff does and the things that they do to prepare, even if it's that, they are already thinking of it. My guys are not. And they have to, it's on Jason Garrett to start making them think that way or start consuming those details or having them ready. Kevin, I just want to say we are already almost at $7,000 raised almost $8,000 raised before Peace-a-thon has even begun.
Hey, I just want to throw out that, oh my God.
I just put up a Derek Holland autographed Cubs jersey.
A Cubs jersey,
There is still the Petacolas experience. One of my favorite breweries is Petacolas. It's right here in Dallas, and you can hop on down there and check them out anytime. But what I suggest with this, if you run a company that you want to do a party and you want to show your employees that you love them, then go ahead and invest in this because it's 3 hours in their tap room and it's 3 beers a person, so 150 beers total. So even if you don't get to 50 people, I mean, you got 25 people and you want to do this, this is a great opportunity to really show some people off, and it's some good beers too.
I just want to toss out one more thing because people are always like, well, I can't get involved in some of the bidding and everything like that, and that's always fair. You can also donate to My Possibilities off the exact same website, 1053thefan.com/peaceathon. By the way, while you're at 1053thefan.com, all kinds of amazing articles and videos up there from all of your favorite people. You can go ahead and donate. If you donate $25 or more, just send us a screenshot, copy of the receipt, whatever. We'll have you up to sit in on a future show of your choosing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Amari Cooper road woes. Should we be concerned about this split before he gets that extension? Do it next right here on The Fan.
Now, Amari Cooper has been an exceptional receiver for the Cowboys this year, Kevin. Do you disagree?
No.
Okay, good. Something that Kevin is finally positive about.
A lot of
people are always upset about how negative Kevin is all the time.
That's fair.
That's what they call him, negative Kevin.
That's hurtful.
But I think that you can say that you've been really ecstatic. You felt like your investment of the first round pick has been worth its while.
Oh my God, yes.
And when it comes to, man, I want to give Jerry, Steven, Will, you know, that brain trust of people tons of credit for the decision on Michael Bennett right now, the decision on Amari Cooper to pull that trigger, and the decision of adding Robert Quinn to this team. Kevin, when it comes when you have a team, you want to be able to have a very young team that's also that has a lot of money that's not yet invested in them.
Sure.
But at the same time, be able to invest later down the road. But you also need to figure out how to sprinkle in senior leadership and veterans that have been around for a while. And the Cowboys frugally use draft picks to add that, to take advantage of the cap money that they had left on these guys. And even with their contracts, you know, they restructured the contract for Michael Bennett to move on next year if he wants to retire or go play somewhere else, whatever, or renegotiate another contract with the Cowboys if he likes it here.
He's looked good so far.
Robert Quinn, you know, you understand where his situation is, but you want to be able to kind of balance it out. We talked with Frank Provenzano. He was a former assistant GM for the Dallas Stars, and he worked all over the country in the hockey world, and Shippy knows a lot about hockey. We all do. But the mindset of whenever you're building your roster is you want youth, you want them at their peak, but you also want the ability to have veteran mindset. But it's very difficult to get that when you're dealing with a bunch of rookies. Or even with, you know, Dak's in his fourth year, but what's the highest level of success they've had in the playoffs so far?
Division.
How does he get to that next place?
Yeah.
How does Jason get to that next place?
Yeah.
But I will give them a lot of credit for continuing to sprinkle in that kind of talent. Now, with Amari Cooper, I saw this story from our good friend Katie Drummond, and it's on Cowboys Wire on USA Today. And there was Amari Cooper's numbers. He had, what, 0 catches, 2 official targets after he was, and these are official targets. I know right. He had some pulled back and everything. But the question now is his splits. Why does he struggle on the road? And Kevin,
does he struggle that much on
okay,
the road?
Okay, because you were, I never heard of splits because that's analytics. I never heard splits until you started talking about it in baseball a few years when we started the show.
I accidentally did the splits once.
Yeah, I've done the splits before. It's not fun
ever since.
But the splits here are interesting because of what he does on the road versus what he does at home. In 2019 games, on at home, 5 games. All right, Kevin, do all these averages for me real quick. 39 catches on 49 targets.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he catches like 80% of his passes?
Yeah, 79.6 catch percentage. I actually already have the averages for you.
Oh, okay.
673 yards. So 17.3 yards per
117.
Average.
Okay. Oh, per game?
Per average.
Per
yards
catch?
Per reception.
Okay, sorry. Gotcha.
On the road, 6 games, 17 catches.
Oh, dear.
On 32 targets.
Oh, my God. So that's like 52%?
So it drops from 80% to 53.1%. 213 yards. By the way, he's got 5 touchdowns on the road and 2 at home. We've been very happy
Wait,
with the
what?
Number. I'm sorry. 5 at home, 2 on the road. My bad. Saying,
okay. Hold on.
Sorry.
I don't know anything anymore.
Started looking at the next thing. His splits over his career, though. This is where I want you to pay attention because you're starting to think, okay, so he was bad this year, right? Here are his home and road splits over his career. And I got a little, some of the numbers are a little skewed here. 2,018 yards at home, 1,982 yards on the road.
Okay.
274 targets, 188 catches. At home.
Okay.
272 targets, 146 receptions.
Oh, dear.
On the road. His catch percentage goes from 68.6 to 53%.
Holy smokes.
All right, so hold on. And that's fine. And his wins, there's some more numbers here. His year-by-year look at his home and away catch percentage. 2019, 79 to 53. 2018, 76 to 63. 2017, 62.5 to 41 on the road.
Holy crap.
2016, 64 to 61. And then 2015, 61 to 50. But his entire career, he has been bad on the road and good at home. And I don't know why, because even still, he was good at Oakland.
Yeah.
And good at... here for the Cowboys. He's catching at least 11% of his targets on the road than at home over the this year's gap is 26.5. So that typically it's about 11% less. This year it's almost 30. And so you might think to yourself, okay, hold on. Let's look at this. What about Randall Cobb? Randall Cobb's catch percentage at home, 65%.
Okay.
On the road, 64. Randall Cobb or Michael Gallup's catch percentage on the road, 55.3%. His catch percentage on the road, 55.2%.
Oh.
So for those two receivers, he's that much better on the road than he is. There is the, about the same as they are on the road than at home. And the numbers here is what's kind of, it's perplexing, just like saying that word. It's not that I'm trying to bash a guy here. I'm trying to figure out why. And 877-881-1053. Let's try and come up with an idea here. Let's try. I love incorporating what you guys do. Y'all have the thoughts that really do break down what these guys are thinking in these situations and what's going on from the 214. Do we have a guy banging a trash can at AT&T Stadium? That's a great question.
Do we?
I don't know if we do. Maybe we do.
Have we been playing the Texans?
All right. So Kevin, now you might say also. All right. These statistics are ridiculous because he's had two different quarterbacks that have thrown to him.
Okay, but like that's the thing I don't understand because immediately I saw some people like, well, maybe because Dak can't throw on the road. Like, surely you're not pushing the narrative that Carr is better than Prescott, are you?
Dak Prescott's completion percentage at home.
Oh, no.
67.5%.
Okay.
65% on the road. So it dips.
So it's a tiny bit, but not too much.
His passer rating is a 99.7 at home and a 94.3 on the road.
Okay, so the difference is not discern. I mean,
it might be Derek Carr. What about Derek Carr in 3.5 years, Kevin? Derek Carr's numbers on the road or at home, 65% completion percentage, 62 at home or on the road. So 65 to 62, it doesn't dip that much. So there is an issue. There is clearly a look of concern when it comes to what is going on with Amari Cooper on the road.
I would also like to know the answer to that. This is concerning to me. Let's go to cut 12 from Jerry here because he was asked about Amari Cooper's struggles versus the Patriots.
Amari, to some degree, has been taken out of the game or controlled by single cover corner traveling with him. Is that, do you see the Bills doing those sorts of things with White, or do you think he'll have a different opportunity?
Yeah, hard to know what they're going to do.
Why has Amari, his stats are so different at home and on the road. Why has he had trouble on the road compared to being at home?
Yeah, hard to understand that. Amari's a really good football player. We got a lot of confidence in him. He's been an impactful player for us since we've gotten him.
Okay, so obviously that was Garrett right there, but I'm glad somebody asked that question of him. I appreciate that they asked that. And the thing is, like, I know people be like, oh, Jason Garrett blowing off another question, but I don't think so. Like, I think that's a fair takeaway is it's hard to figure out why somebody who's been such an elite player has such a dynamic split.
Well, Sean and RJ, and let's do a quick radio rewind on the radio.com app. Sean and RJ did talk to Jerry this morning, and this was what he had to say about that struggle.
Yeah, we knew that they were new, that they were going to put an emphasis on restricting him with their good player that they had. This fell out. It was true to form. And we knew we were going to have to get the ball to other receivers. We did. And that's what it is. I don't think the right question is a physical one with Amari because he has such a constitution that he works through any limitations he's having physically. He, when you say, is he okay, he doesn't have a fundamental limitation relative to his physical condition. Is he fighting through various nicks and various challenges physically? Yes.
It's good to hear that the next to last thing that he said is that he does not have a fundamental limitation, which what I translate that is there is not such an overwhelming injury that will prevent him from Buffalo on Thursday, which you can hear right here on The Fan, of course, your Thanksgiving tradition. Or if it's just, you know, some minor things and that game just didn't work out his way. That's much better than saying, yeah, I don't know.
A lot of texts coming in about what the possibility of the difference is for him, and we'll get to those in just a second. I wanted to add this. Here's my biggest reason for bringing this up. Not about the regular season. And what KD Drummond did in this story, he brought it up for purposes of how do you right size a contract for this wideout? Because, you know, what do you paying him just for the home games or the road games?
Yeah.
My biggest question is, how does it affect you when you have to go on the road in the playoffs? Because the playoffs, Kevin, that's Jason Garrett's success of being here or not is relying upon what they do this year in the playoffs. And Amari Cooper last year, he went from 15.1 yards per catch and a catch percentage of 78% against the Seahawks at home to 10.8 yards a catch and a catch percentage of 66% on the road against the Rams. Is it matchup? Because Jerry said, hey, look, we knew what Gilmore was going to do. We knew he was the number one guy going into this. Is it just because they have good cornerbacks and he's good against bad cornerbacks?
That seems like that would wash out at least over time to a certain extent, though.
I think you'll find out this Thursday because now he's going up against one of the best at home. So what's going to be the difference at home? If he just wipes him off the floor again on Sunday or on Thursday, you have to sit back and go, okay, is there something about AT&T Stadium? And some people are saying, man, it's the travel. He said Amari Cooper said he doesn't have a routine. So whenever he goes on the road, not having an established routine, maybe that's a problem. Because getting into the mindset of what you have to do the same way you do at home might be a little bit of a change from the 2-2-8. Game prep, travel readiness is a clear reason. He's either not getting the appropriate rest or mental preparedness.
You know what? I want to specifically talk about that, the sleep thing or the rest thing. We talked about this maybe like a month ago, is that they had done this analytical study, funny how it always comes back to that, about sleep, and some company put together this determination where they correctly predicted 78% of the basketball games, who would win and who would lose based on the travel schedule. That's astonishing to me.
I remember whenever I was up in Cleveland, I had Charles Barkley's personal driver as my driver that evening, Kevin, and he said that Charles Barkley would come in and tell him who to bet on based on travel.
Yes!
He would tell him all the time, based on travel, here's who you should bet on.
Okay, well then that's the next thing we need to figure out, because I hope that he absolutely torches Tre'Davious or whoever ends up, like, you know, spending the bulk of the covering time with him, and then we can figure out next how to get him to these places like a day or two earlier, give him some extra rest.
From the 903, what if opposing teams' corners are better? Top corners are better at home. From the 940, creature of habit. Maybe he has sleeping issues away from the house. That makes sense. But I love this one. 214. His lady isn't on the road with him. It's proven you perform better when you have a little, you know, before games. Hey, Tim Hardaway Jr. performs better when his dad's at the basketball game.
Why would you go from that point to that other point? Oh. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Oh, my God. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, are the Mavericks a top five team in the league? And are you amped up for tonight's game? What can the Mavericks learn? But before we get to any of that, I bet right now a lot of people are not amped up about their financial situation. They don't know what to do. They're not quite sure how they can fix it. Here is the start. You dial up Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, or you go to DallasTexasLegal.com. You might be thinking, yeah, but not really, because I'm too far gone. No, you're not. There's a whole reason that Mark Rubin has this business, and he's been doing it for so long in this area. It's because he's seen all the situations, and he knows how to help people out, Corey. So I think that maybe, you know, swallow some of that pride, make a tough phone call. Yeah.
You know who has a great percentage, catch percentage, Kevin? It's Mark Rubin.
Yeah.
He's catching everything for you because he's a Tolo. Don't go to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. It might seem like a very tough decision to make this call. But you know what? You have that stress weighing on you. You can feel it in your chest sometimes. You can't breathe because you have all this debt that you have to overcome. And how am I going to do this? When am I going to be able to pay this off? Don't let that pride get in the way, because Mark's in your corner. He can help alleviate that and help you breathe again. So stop those harassing bill collector calls right now and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com. Keep an ear out on 105.3thefan.com for the Fantasy Funcast with me and Shippy this time around. We're going to be recording that today. I guess I got to come up with a DraftKings lineup that I'm going to be rocking out there. And Kevin, I've been terrible at fantasy football this year.
Oh no!
I'm like Cam Newton. One year I'm great, the next year I'm bad.
Hurt your shoulder?
Yeah, or I hurt my shoulder. Hopefully, I can give some great advice to people though that will help them win all the monies. My question to you right now: 877-881-1053. Do you think the Mavericks are a top five team in the NBA at the moment? They have a top five team coming in, top three team coming in tonight to the American Airlines Center. Kevin is a Luka hater, noted Luka hater, even though he's averaged a triple-double, I mean, most of the season. But in addition to that, he fell four rebounds short.
He's not impressed,
And then he fell three rebounds short on Friday. And
rebounds
Kevin was
their effort plays.
Kevin,
wow.
I'm just kidding. I mean, they are, but I'm not actually trying to take them.
CBSSports.com has their power rankings up right now. And Kevin, I want to go back because I want people to remember this at the end of the season. We talked about the group of five the Mavericks were going to need to beat during the season in order to hang around and maybe get an eighth spot.
Yeah.
At this point, have you changed your expectation from they need to be around that group of five to they actually are going to be a little higher than that?
Oh, yeah. Now I think they're going to be the group of five in the Western Conference. So,
you think they're going to be in the top five of the West?
I mean, the way you look at it now, it's hard to think that they don't make it. I don't have them in the top five overall in the NBA just yet, which I'm sure will drive some people insane, but I hope the fact that I think now they'll be top five in the West will be encouraging to people.
Will you just admit that the success is because of Luka?
I mean, sure.
Okay. He won't even admit it like in a good way.
I was saying sure does anybody dispute that?
You're the Luka hater.
That. I'm not a Luka hater.
From the 214, they are a top 10. They're still missing an athletic defensive shooting wing. I don't think we disagree with that. If Tim Hardaway Jr. can become that.
Yes, he's not very good. He's not a good defensive player.
Go look at his, even still, do you have to be a good defensive player when you're scoring 135 a night?
No, you don't. I know some people will be like, that'll cost you in the playoffs. I'm not sure if the playoffs slow. I mean, it does to a certain extent, but I'm not sure the playoffs slow down as much as people think.
You can create tempo in the playoffs if you want to. It's just a matter of whenever, if the other team is on their things too, can you make the difference in the amount of possessions that you have?
Yeah.
Will you be able to have the same amount of possessions at the furious pace that you're playing in the regular season as opposed to whenever it comes down to, are you going to be able to do the same things that you do? Some teams will say, we're going to try and slow it down a little bit. So then you have to be efficient. From the 210, no, not top five. I think they're top eight, though. From the 214, Kevin, why are you hating? That's a great question that G-Bag is getting ready to start asking you a lot. But 877-881-1053, do you think the Mavericks are a top five team in the NBA? And then somebody said no such thing as a top five team during the regular season. The playoffs are a whole different animal. Right now, CBS Sports has the Rockets at number 11, the Celtics at number 10, the Heat at 9.
Okay, just real quick, that is too low for the Celtics. Back to you, Corey.
The Jazz at 8. The Raptors at 7, and the Sixers at 6.
Oh, that means they have either the Mavs in the top 5 or not in the top 11, which would be super weird at this point.
The Mavs have moved up 7 spots to number 5, and they said there's no hotter team in the NBA than the Mavericks right now.
I mean, the Lakers, and, but okay.
What are you? I'm trying to read this,
okay,
dude.
Sorry. Just the Lakers and the Bucks have both won 8 games in a row.
Shippy, I just want to say
that's just factually inaccurate.
Shippy, I just want to point out that as soon as I was about to get to the complimenting Luka part, Kevin had to interrupt.
Come on!
And Luka,
I was about to play happy music, too.
Yeah.
And Luka, then he was like, nope.
Luka Doncic has established himself as a legitimate MVP candidate. Kevin, would you want to rain on that one?
No, that's fair.
It's fair.
What? No.
Wow.
Well, hold on. Fair? I didn't mean fair like so-so. I mean fair like I accept
877-881-1053.
What is Kevin's problem?
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Let Kevin know how you feel about him, just in general.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, I guess if I really have to throw things out there that are particularly inflammatory, because I don't think anybody can stop me at this point. If Luke is so great of all the things we have up on the Peace-a-thon auction site, how come his isn't the highest bid?
It can be.
Yeah, but it's not.
What is it right now?
I think his autographed jersey, which I got directly from the Mavericks, by the way, $750. You know what's higher than that? Cowboys.
Huh.
You know what went higher than that? Joey Gallo jersey. I'm just saying, if Luke is so great, why is this so affordable?
The wow. Jeez. Here's the other thing that they added. They had four dominant victories this week.
They did.
Sent a message by going into Houston and handling the Rockets. And they did. They played the Rockets game better than the Rockets could.
And
then added, the scary thing for opponents is that Kristaps is only going to get better. Hopefully, yeah. Right?
No, but I think that is a fair hope. It was kind of surprising to a certain extent how quickly people were to judge like the success or failure of Kristaps already. And I feel like people forgot that he hadn't played a legitimate basketball game in like more than a year and a half. So you should probably give him a minute to see how it goes. By the way, to those dominating victories, I think just the fourth team in NBA history to win back-to-back games by more than 40 points. And so if you have the continued improvement of Kristaps, and if you get any semblance of efficiency from Tim Hardaway Jr., then I think that this team could host an opening round playoff series.
From the 520, Kevin, you have solid opinions. Stick to your guns. Hate, hate, hate. And then somebody said, I can see why Corey didn't invite you to his wedding.
Also, this is just a smart text right here. Luka is affordable because he's on his rookie deal. That is not how the bidding works for this, but that is just a smart, smart text right there.
I did mention this the other day, and I think the performances over the last week may have blurred my vision a little bit, but I think Luka is going to make Mavs fans forget about Dirk, and that says a lot about what Dirk
what?
Is.
What?
Dirk Nowitzki's, hey, listen, it's not, it's, I love Dirk, all right? He gave me my first NBA championship.
You guys are both sick human beings.
But, no, but the thing I'm is, not. What he's doing things that even Dirk didn't do. You know, scoring 30-plus points a game with 10 rebounds in four straight games, or 30 and 10 in four straight games, to be able to do what he's doing right now. And I think it was 30 points in three straight games. He was the youngest player to ever do it. He's doing so many amazing things that there's a generation, Kevin, of fans that never got to see Dirk's legendary stuff.
Yeah.
And only saw what was the end of his career and us tributing him.
Yeah.
And now are seeing Luka step into this role of let's take the Ferrari and ride over the city with it. And so that's what I mean by that is there we will always have Dirk, you know, the Dirk statue. But I think there is another generation that's going to say that Dirk wasn't my guy. Luka was my guy.
I still.
No, do not mark that.
Maybe tomorrow we're going to just use all the drops against Corey. We'll get more full-fledged into that. I want to go back to your original question. Original question about the Mavericks being a top five team. What I threw out there was Lakers number one, and I think at this point it's probably hard to dispute that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. Have 15-2, they've played insane, they've been tremendous both at home and on the road. I would put the Clippers second. I know the record doesn't necessarily bear that out, but when you have two of the top, what, three, four, five two-way players in the NBA, it's hard to argue. I put the Bucks third. I put the Nuggets fourth, which might drive some Mavs fans insane since we already beat the Nuggets. Then I put the Celtics five. They have having the Celtics at 10 is criminally low. Then I have the Mavs at six. I will tell you this, though. Mavs got the Clippers tonight. Mavericks.
This is a huge game. This is a huge opportunity.
100%. The spread started at 2.5. It is down to 1.5. The Mavericks are only 1.5-point favorites by this. ESPN Analytics has the Mavericks as the 54% likely victor in this game. If the Mavericks win this game, I think that puts them top four. I would put them in that same group. I would bump them back ahead of the Nuggets, and I would put them as a top four NBA team in the league if they win this game.
Are they above the Clippers if they beat them in this game? That's it. That's a weird question because, yeah, they just beat them.
Sure.
But do you look at the body of work and say that the other team is better, better suited for the entire season?
It would depend on what type of outcome it was. Like, if it was a back and forth competitive game, then maybe you say, well, the Mavericks had home court, so you give them a little bit of leeway there. But if they were able to kind of smash them, like they even did against the Rockets, and then obviously like they did against the Cavs and the Warriors, then I probably would bump them ahead of the Clippers, and maybe I would put them in the top three along with the Lakers and the Bucks. But if they win that game, I'm prepared to bounce them into the top four.
From the 940, the Mavs were one missed holding call on Dwight Howard from beating the Lakers that night. And then from the 817.
Smash your balls! Bang, bang, bang! There were also the inability to close out defensively away from winning that game.
From the 817, is Kawhi going to guard Luka all game, you think? I think that they do three. I think they have Beverly, I think they have George, and they have Kawhi, and they just rotate them all because they're all great defenders. And they just got to figure out, what are the Mavs doing well? And this is what I love, man. Rick Carlisle saying that their expectations are raising, and I hope he goes back to this line again. We accept the challenge. Because whenever they talk about accepting the challenge, and tonight is a challenge, if you're getting the effort from those guys that you would like to get, I'm really hoping that it is a full team for the Clippers, and they're pushing that out there trying to say, you know what, we want to go out there and beat these guys because they're posing a big threat to what we are as a team too.
They going
to
win?
The Mavericks?
Will they win, yes or no?
Yes. Mavs win tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, Kevin?
That's what I think, too.
Really?
No.
Oh, my God! You're kidding me!
Wow.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. How did you not know that was going to happen?
Fair.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which five teams can win the Super Bowl in 2019? Is there any chance in your heart or your brain that the Cowboys make that list? We'll discuss it next right here on The Fan.